Good evening, class. Well, we got a good lesson for you today. We're going to be talking about David's knowledge of authority. You can take a moment or so to try to find it in your book. But we're going to talk about King David. And prior to David becoming king, Saul was the first king of Israel. And I think we talked about that a few classes ago. He was the king of Israel, but he failed God by being disobedient. He disobeyed God in one of the commands that God gave him to kill all the Amalekites and to utterly destroy them all. But Saul sought his own will, and that prevented him from being king. There's a lot more goes on with the story, but I'm trying to bring you up to speed. So after Saul became king, God knew that he was going to have to find a man after his own heart. So he sent Samuel the prophet over to Jesse's house. And Jesse had 8 sons. And to make the story a little short and condense it, God permitted Samuel to go through all 7 of the sons, and either or neither of them were one of God's chosen. And then Samuel asked Jesse, he said, "Do you have any more sons?" "Yes, I got the young boy over in the woods, watching over the sheep. He's pastoring the sheep." And so he said, "Fetch him." He said, "We're not going to eat, sit down and eat until we check with him." And finally, when David appeared, God showed him this was the chosen one, the one that was going to be king over Israel. So the Bible said Samuel took the flask of oil out and anointed him in the presence of all the other boys. And I got to thinking about that. You know, they could have envied him because he being the youngest and the elders thought sometimes they have rule over the youngest, but in spiritual things, sometimes it's just the opposite. God chooses whom he will. He told Samuel, he told God, told Samuel, he said, men chooses after the outward appearance. He said, but God chooses after the heart. And so that heart, that God, that nature of man, that character that God placed in each of us has a lot to do with God promoting us and choosing us. And that's why you have to make sure your heart have no alternative motive and willing to do what God says at all time. All right, so I took that little moment to do 2 things, to trying to give you an idea of where we're going with this lesson. And secondly, to give you time to find where we are in your book. So, David's knowledge of authority. Saul, listen at this. Saul was the people's choice, but David was God's choice. People wanted the king. Israel did good with judges. God used the judges to judge the children of Israel. But all the other nations had kings. And the people of Israel, you know, decided they wanted a king, so they chose Saul. Saul became the first king. So, but what's fixing to happen here, I got to bring you up a little bit more to speed. David, after he killed Goliath, and if you read the story, matter of fact, I read quite a few chapters. I read the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, all the way through the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, just to get a better idea. You know, I read this lesson more than once, but see, you got to refresh yourself at all times. Just because you read something once, don't mean you got it. Even if you read it 10 times, God always got something fresh he wants to show you. And so I read all through all those chapters. I don't know if 10, 11, 12 chapters, I don't know how many I read. But I want a fresh picture, a fresh eyewitness of what happened between Saul and David. And so Saul envied David Because after David joined Saul's army and became one of his team members, he was a servant to Saul. Saul put him a captain over his army. And so they would go out to battle, and they would come back singing songs. Saul had killed his 1,000, and David his 10,000. Well, that don't go too right with the king. That don't fit too good with the king. It don't fit too good with any leader to be particular, you know. That's if your pastor is teaching, and then all of a sudden somebody says, yeah, pastor teaches good. But so-and-so teaches, oh, a lot better. I can understand what he's saying a lot better. Well, no, that don't go too good between a pastor and someone that's submitted or should be submitted to him. And so with all being said, Saul envied David, and something else happened. We're going to get to the lesson, but I got to bring you up to speed. Something else happened. When Saul rejected God, the anointing was lifted for king. When God had Samuel to anoint David to be king, the Spirit of God came upon David, and at the same time, the Spirit of God left Saul. So David was the anointed king. Saul was still anointed in the office of a king, but David had the anointing in the spirit of a king. It's a difference. You see, sometimes people can stand in the office, and that office is anointed. King office was anointed, and Saul still functioning in that office as an anointed. But the anointing to function was really upon David to be king. You see it? And so David was the king the moment Samuel anointed him. He was called to be the king. But notice, we're going to find out, David had to go through a long process. I don't know how many years passed before David took the throne. God still took him through many challenges and many experiences. And the whole while, he was checking David's heart out and maturing him in so many ways, in so many places. So sometimes people think they're called to do certain things. Maybe God have called you. God is your judge. But at the same time, you know, God will begin taking you through moments of some challenges and moments of experience. And these things are to perfect you and to make you what you ought to be, according to the scripture. Now, with further speaking, now Saul is after David. Class, I got to bring you up to speed. Saul is chasing after David because now Saul wants David dead. It can't be two kings in Israel. You see, you can't have two leaders because the people become split. You can't have two heads, and that's what was going on now. Saul was the king on the throne, but David was a king that yet to be throned. And now Saul is after David. David run, and he meets the priest on the way, and the priest gave him the showbread, the bread that was in the Holy of Holies. Didn't have any other baked bread left over, but he gave him the showbread that he would keep in the presence all the time. And David said, "Do you have any weapons here?" And so the priest gave him Goliath's sword, the same sword that David used to cut the head off of Goliath. He gave him his sword. And now David runs into a hiding place. And I'm bringing you up to speed now. And Saul chases him to this hiding place. That brings us to the first instance of David and Saul. And we're going to look at how David handled this situation with Saul. And we're going to go back in full class with this, but I tried to bring up to speed for your best understanding. Read the scriptures. Do like I did. Start from in your spare time. Just not an assignment class. Just for knowing and to get a good understanding of what happened here and how it's so educational to your spirit when it comes to authority. Understanding how David functioned under authority, but yet in authority. It's a powerful lesson here. And so this is the first instance that David had to really put all his education on the road, training to effect here. And God watched how David handled it. So now we skip all the way from chapter 16 all the way to chapter 24. I could have read chapter 24 and chapter 26, and you probably could do it too. But no, I wanted to see the whole picture. Again, I wanted to be fresh in my mind. So we begin here at the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel. We read in the 4th to the 6th verse. This is right here when Saul is put before David. And David have a perfect chance to kill his enemy. All right, 4th verse says, 1 Samuel 24:4. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which Jehovah said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy unto thy hand, and thou shalt do to him as it seemed good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily or privately. Now, I'm going to stop here, Claire. And what's happened here, David was in the inner parts of the cave. Him and his men. Had to be a pretty big cave because David now has 400 men with him. For them that was in distress, them that were discontented, you know the story. They all gathered themselves around David. But this time, they were in the real part of the cave. And Saul had no knowledge of where David was. And so Saul came in the entrance of the caves, to say to rest himself, to relax himself. And evidently he must have fell asleep. And now he's lying by himself, and Saul and David finds out that Saul is in the entrance of the cave. And one of his men said, the Lord had delivered him into your hand. No more running, David. No more Saul chasing you. You can kill him now, and you know God's anointed you king, and you can go straight to the throne. But no, David didn't think like that. God hadn't put the heart, or David had not had that character in him. David had something special about him that God knew was in him, and David could not do that. David would not permit himself to do that. David recognized something that his men probably didn't recognize. David recognized, let me read a little bit more, then you're going to see what David recognized. All right? I'm going to read this again. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which Jehovah, this is God, said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thy enemies into thy hand, and thou shalt do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Now, cutting off the skirt of Saul, it was almost as bad as killing Saul when it came to David. Because David's heart was so sensitive. Even the act of cutting off the skirt, the hem part of Saul's robe, his kingly robe, David used the two-edged sword he had, and he just cut off a piece of his robe. And that piece of robe served as an evidence that it could have been your neck I could have cut. I could have killed you. And you wouldn't know anything about it. Your men wouldn't know anything about it. But something happened to David here. Something happened to David with just the cutting off the skirt. Sometimes we don't sense things until after we have done the most damage. But David's heart was so sensitive that he's even the cutting of the skirt, you know, caused his heart to be smoted almost as though that he had done more harm to Saul. To him, that was enough because he recognized who Saul was and he understood authority. And he understood not only authority, but God's authority. Matter of fact, he called Saul God's anointed. My goodness. And he understood the severity and the consequences to his own life if he would have permitted himself to kill Saul. He may have been promoted by self-promotion, but some things or sometimes you only promote it by God's timing. You see it? Sometimes people try to get ahead of God and self-promote themselves. That which David could have done that, which people, a man gave him the, kind of urge him. Sometimes we let people urge us to promote ourselves and encourage us. But no, you can't let people put their voices and their words in your ears. You have to guard your ears and follow your spirit, knowing what the Spirit of God says. Yeah, everything may seem perfect. This is the perfect time. God has set you up for this moment. And it may seem like God has set him up. It may seem like everything was falling in line. Finally, no more running. Finally. And all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Ghost said, you better not. When all these voices hit in your ear saying to promote yourself, the Holy Ghost says, not time. This is God's anointed. This is not God's way. This is not God's plan for you. And look like everything is perfect for God's plan. But supernaturally, the Holy Ghost knows better. Now, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Now, his heart smote him. David's heart smote him. Well, the closest thing I came to experience with my heart smote me, and I'll never forget it. You know, if you've been in ministry any time, I don't know if you can associate with what I'm saying. And when someone in the ministry, when I was on staff, in the ministry, when we have these calls, you know, one of our members went home to be with the Lord. So, you know, Apostle had me to go to the family, to the hospital, and meet with the family. But when I got to the hospital, I think that the member had already passed. And so I stayed with the family. And then when it came to the house, I went to the house with the family. Now, mind me, mind you, this was one of the longest days that I ever had to spend on the road. Because, you know, I didn't want to leave the family at that particular time because they were taking it pretty hard. And so as time went by, man, I could have ate a horse. I got so hungry. You ever had one of those hungry headaches? I don't know about you, but I'm hurting so bad. Boy, I'm hungry, I'm feeling bad, I'm tired. I'm just exhausted, but nevertheless, I go to the house. And now I get to the house, and I spend some time with the house, you know, sharing with the family. And at that time, you know, everything seemed to be going good with the family. Everybody settled down, coming to themselves, coming to reality of the loved one, any dealing with it in their own way. And I got to the point where I told the family, I said, well, I think I'm about to leave y'all. I'll go and I'll be checking on you guys later. But just when I was walking out the door, an apostle comes in. And man, he comes in. Well, I know I can't go now. I know I can't leave my apostle, you know, at the house. Because I feel like I would have been deserting or something. But I'm hurting, though. Ah, man, I had a headache so bad. Ah, man, look, felt like my head didn't belong to me, like it was someone else's head. When I told Apostle, I said, Apostle, I said, is it okay if I go? I said, yeah, son, go ahead. Oh, he let me off so easy. Ah, man, it was so easy. It almost scared me. And this years ago. I'm talking about years ago. And so I do leave, and I do go home, and I do sit at my table, and I do relax and try to eat. But my heart smote me. And what do you mean? That's the first time I understood when my heart smote me. The conviction came upon me. You should have never left. You should have never left your apostle. We call him pastor then. You should have never left pastor. I should have never left pastor by the house by himself. No, I was wrong to do that. And my heart smote me for some time until I had to yield. To the point where I had to get to the pastor. I said, Pastor, I shouldn't have left you. It wasn't right. I shouldn't have left you. I had to get some relief. He said, oh, son, everything was all right. I said, no, but I shouldn't have left you. I knew I shouldn't have left you. My heart smote me so bad. It just didn't go right. It didn't go right with my heart, you see. And so that's the closest thing I can relate to. But me, my heart smote me. It may have seemed like a small thing, but the Holy Ghost was training me. You see, someone else may not have had a problem with that, but God was training me, and I think it left an effect on my life till this day. And it may seem small, but spiritual things, it sometimes is those small things that really mold you to be what God knows you ought to be. So his heart smote them because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He didn't kill him. He just cut off the skirt, but his heart smote them. And he said unto his men that was encouraging him, this was the Lord, Jehovah forbid that I should do this thing unto my Lord. Jehovah's anointed. You see what he called Saul? Jehovah's anointed. To put forth my hand against him, seeing he is Jehovah anointed. My goodness. Well, I understood better, you see, what David was saying concerning Saul being Jehovah's anointed. Well, now here's the second episode. Now, we've got both of these things lined up together here. The first episode, now here's the second episode, second chance David had to kill Saul in the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm going to read it right out of the book here, beginning at the 9th verse. And David said to Abishai, and Abishai was with his armor bearer, and David said unto Abishai, touch him not, for who can put his hands against Jehovah's anointed and be guiltless? Now, that's not what he's saying. Jehovah forbid that I should put forth my hand against Jehovah's anointed. Isn't that something? Now, I have another one over in 2 Samuel 1 and 14. And David said unto him, how was thou not afraid to put forth thy hand to destroy Jehovah's anointed? Well, this is another instance here where this young man, you know, they went to war against the Philistine, and this young man, said he found Saul wounded in the battle, and therefore Saul asked him to fall up, to let him to take his sword and kill him, because he knew he couldn't live like that. And this young man obeys Saul, and he killed Saul. Well, not that Saul wasn't already going to die, but he killed Saul, and he took a crown of Saul and brought it, everything to David. And so my point of saying is that David had this man killed because he said, well, you're not afraid to touch God's anointed, and you thought you were going to be guiltless? Well, he's showing the severity of understanding God's anointing and understand God's authority. You can't touch God's authority in the wrong way and be guiltless. He's saying it's impossible that God not going to judge those who touch his anointing. And that's why this lesson class is such of a serious lesson, and people not even afraid in these last days to touch God's anointing. They say things, put their hands on him, and they just have so much, they're so irreverent when it comes to God's anointing that they don't understand how they're putting themselves in harm's place, and they don't know. No, the ground not cleaving over again like we talk about in the book of Numbers. No, God is not setting people afire, you know, with the incense, you know, burning people up anymore, you know, but no, he's not doing it like he did in the days of old, but judgment still comes. You cannot be disobedient to authority and not repent about it, and judgment does not come. It doesn't work like that. Now, we're going to go on, and we're going to look at a few points in this lesson here. And so, but I had to go through those scriptures like I did, so to bring you up to speed, the kind of man David was. David had a heart after God, the Bible said. Matter of fact, David was the lineage in whom Christ came. Christ came to the lineage of David. He was perfect in God's sight. Not without fault, but he had a perfect heart. You see it? See, you can have a perfect heart. It doesn't say you don't make mistakes, but your heart can be perfect. And that's what God wants. God wants a perfect heart. All right? Now, let me put a few points out to elaborate on some of the things we're saying about David. So, not at the price of rebellion did David seek the throne. He could have went straight to the throne in the first instance when he cut off the skirt of his garment. And he could, because it seemed obvious that he was king, the anointing oil was placed upon him, and the people had rallied around him. He had men with him, devoted men, ready to fight for him, ready to die for him as king. And the people knew he was king. And Saul knew he was king. But the thing is that David didn't seek the throne, not at the price of being a rebellious person. You see, so David waited for God to work. David knew if God had made him king, then God's plan was going to unfold on his own and on his own time. Yes, God always have a plan. I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. But God didn't tell you when it was going to unfold. And sometimes we try to get ahead of God. And sometimes we try to make things happen with our own abilities and with our own strength. You see? But David had a secret. He acknowledged God in all his ways. And I studied David. Matter of fact, I read books upon David. And David never did anything without inquiring of God. You see? You know, and sometimes God permits you to be a shepherd boy for a while. He permits you to be a sheep tender for a while. Now, when I say sheep tender and shepherd boy, I'm talking spiritually. He'll let you serve at the very bottom for a while. He'll let you know what it is to be a servant. He'll let you, you know, because a servant's heart understands authority. You see it? So David did not see the throne at the price of rebellion. Now, the Israelite, having entered Canaan, asked God for a king. I'm going through the book now. God commissioned Samuel to anoint Saul to be the first king. Saul was chosen and set up by God to be his delegated authority. After he became king, he disobeyed God's authority, even to the point of seeking to destroy him. Now, we're going through what I did before, but we're going to see it in a different light. King Saul's disobedience caused him to lose his rule as king. You see? So your disobedience can determine your future. If you're faithful over a few things, God said, Jesus said, he'll make us ruler over many. He spared the king of the Amalekites and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fowlings and the lambs and all that was good. Since this was done in disobedience to God's word, God rejected Saul and anointed David. Nevertheless, David was still a man under Saul's authority. Even though he was anointed, he still was under Saul's authority. Isn't that something? David was numbered among Saul's people and was enlisted in Saul's army and was later chosen as Saul's son-in-law. You see that? You see the connection that David had with Saul? You see, he came all the way through the ranks with Saul. Hence, both of them were anointed, but then many times Saul sought to kill David because of he envied David, like we talked about earlier. Israel now had two kings. The rejected one was still on the throne. You see that, Claire? The chosen one had not yet ascended. David was in the most difficult position. Saul went to seek David in the wilderness of the Engedi. Along the way, he entered a cave in which was sitting David and his men in the innermost part. The men of David suggested to him that he should kill Saul. But David resisted the temptation, for he dared not raise his hand against authority. You see, we're going through this again so we can understand it better. So far as the throne was concerned, was it not that David was anointed by God? Yes, David was anointed by God as far as the throne was concerned. And since he was standing directly in the plan and will of God, could anyone forbid him from being king? Isn't that something? Why then should David not help himself to be king? Would it not be a good move to help God accomplish his will? I'll tell you what, that's the very thing we were talking about. It would seem like a good idea. You know, it would almost seem like the will of God. And sometimes the will of God can there's a gray area in it sometimes. When I see a gray area in the will of God, that's when your will overrule. You see it? When it overrules the will of God. I heard a man say he had trouble with his eyes, you know, seeing. And he said, I've lost some of my sight, but I haven't lost my vision. And I understood what he was saying. He hadn't lost his vision. In other words, the real vision is seeing what God sees and seeing God's plan for your life. So even though these men had a will and it seemed so much like the will of God, but yet it was apart from God. It was human will. It was self-will. And sometimes people try to take their will and impose it upon you. You see it? And when they impose their will upon you, their desire is that your will will submit to their will. And when your will submit to their will, it's out of God's will. You see? And there's a fine line. It's a fine line between human will sometimes and God's will. Sometimes it looks almost identical when you're in the flesh. But when you're in the spirit, long as you're in the flesh, oh, it seems so good. Oh, all the ideas that they gave seem perfect. But when you get over here in the spiritual realm, and the Holy Spirit can talk to you, then, and only then, that your spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it does something to you. Sometimes, Claire, there's a scratching goes on the inside. That's the only way I can explain it. A scratching. I hear apostles say it a lot. There's a scratching on the inside. Something just ain't right here. It looks right. It almost feels right. But that scratching on my inner man saying this ain't right. And unless you have that, you'll never be able to do all of this, have proper discernment when it comes to spiritual things, lad. So you got to understand the wills of men that they try to oppose on you. Well, Saul to be killed at this time, moment, David could immediately ascend to the throne, and the will of God need not be delayed for many years. But David was a man who knew how to deny himself. You see, there you go. That word, deny himself. He would rather delay his own ascension than to be a rebellious person. That's why he finally became God's delegated authority. Now, class, these things we're talking about are so crucial to being a servant of God and being one of God's chosen person. You have to become a servant and recognize authority first. Once God, my time is about up, once God had installed Saul as king and had put David under Saul's authority, David would have had to pay the price of rebellion to get to the throne by killing Saul. He would have had to become a rebel. This he dared not do. The principle involved is similar to Michael's restraint from pronouncing a reviling judgment upon Satan. Authority, we can therefore see, is a matter of extreme deep implication and deep conviction. And so, glad that's as far as I can go with this one, but we're going to go a little bit further next week in this lesson because there's so much more to extract and to pull out of this lesson concerning our walk with God and understand this authority. We'll see you next week, class. You have a good day. God bless you.